Hey guys, welcome back. So it's definitely been a while. We went on a way longer break than I think we intended to, but we are back and we have some new things up our sleeves. So we're going to try a little bit of a new format going forward, just for a short little while. We definitely will return back to our originally scheduled programming with how we run everything and everything that we discuss, but for the immediate future, we're going to be doing some little short sessions with a couple of our friends. We have a whole cast and crew of K-pop experts and fans lined up just for y'all. And we have a whole bunch of different topics that we're going to be going over. So it's going to be a wild ride, a new journey for us and for y'all too. So buckle your seatbelts on and we're going to get started. But before we do, don't forget, if you're not already following us on all of our social media accounts, do make sure to do that. So we're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So just look for us there. As always, you'll see our wonderful faces and our pink logo.
Pink. So yeah, as you can see, we have a person with us here, our guest. So this is J-Mini. So she is a K-pop guru since 2004. So this girl is an OG. So let's see what she has to say.
Hello, my name is J-Mini. I've been a K-pop fan since 2004. And I have to say my first K-pop group was actually Shinhwa, which again, they're 90s group. So yeah, I've been a fan since 2004, been working with artists and worked concerts and did all a bunch of things that I wished about, like I dreamed about, and later on, you know, you get older.
Yeah.
You're living the dream.
My hobby became my life. And it was crazy how, like, yeah, I made a job out of my hobby.
That's awesome, like, though.
That is amazing. Yeah. Not everyone can say that. Not a lot of people can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just like now, I'm 26 and I look back at it, I'm like, damn, like, how did this happen? Like, how did I go from this to this?
So can you explain to us what do you mean by your job? So what do you do now with K-pop?
So I do help coordinate K-pop events. I also work and just help plan them out. Or mm-hmm. if they need artists, I just give them a couple of clients if they do need so. And then I also manage a Korean hip-hop artist as well. So actually, since COVID happened, mm-hmm. of course, everything has slowed down completely. This past August, I got to work on a project. I don't know if you guys saw Kevin Woo.
We were there.
But I got to meet him and, well, not really meet him, but like talk to him and his manager. And we were able to do a project and kind of bring him here to kind of test the waters and see if we could do K-pop concerts again and how mm-hmm. like the fans would react and just, you know, if people would come or not come. And we're just testing the waters and it actually became a really good success. So I was glad that that worked out. Mm-hmm. And I also recently went to LA and there's actually a couple of trainees that are going to debut in mm-hmm. January. So I'm excited for that project as well. And then I'm doing a couple of things in LA and in Dallas and Houston. So things are picking up. So that's why I'm saying, like, it's just crazy how I was young and I was like, I either want to work in the K-pop industry mm-hmm. or be a K-pop star. And then like I grow up and I'm somewhat living that little girl dream. And I just look at it, I'm like, how did I go from being a really big, huge fan to like actually working with these people and meeting these people? Like, it just mind blowing.
Yeah. So who is this hip hop artist that you manage?
So his name is Keezy. He is an underground hip hop artist in Korea. Recently, he did perform at Atlanta's Korean Music Festival.
Oh, nice.
So there's that. And then he does have a show next year, hopefully in LA. So he'll be going to LA. And then eventually I would like to bring him here to Dallas or Houston or any city in Texas.
We need K-pop here.
We do.
Nice, nice. So what plans do you have with K-pop in your future? I mean, you're managing people. Anything else you have lined up?
I would really like to bring something like KCON in Dallas. So I am currently trying to work a project and, you know, between those lines, I was happy to actually have met a couple of agents for K-pop artists while I was in Houston this past weekend.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens this summer.
Nice, nice. So I know. And if we're here, we are here to help you promote. Yeah. So speaking of promotion, so you and I talked a little bit about a podcast in the works, maybe possibly from you.
Yes. So this podcast will be kind of similar to what Padmore does. You guys kind of educate people on K-pop artists and stuff. But I would like to go deeper and maybe talk more about the K-pop industry, the do's and don'ts.
Okay.
Give people a little bit of tips on, you know, certain things that do happen and just certain things that you can and cannot do, and just how to be able to kind of break into the industry as well. Because even though we do get concert here, like in the United States, it's not that easy to be able to break through and actually get a paying job.
I see. Yeah. So those tips to kind of the back end, since that's what you do, kind of giving people that information. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, we'll look forward to listening to that, of course. And we're always here to partner. Hey.
Hey.
So she is a seasoned K-pop fan and just veteran in this whole crazy K-pop world. That's why we want to talk to her about how just K-pop has changed throughout the years. Since you've seen it, you OG, you've seen it. We kind of just want to talk to you about that.
Yeah, K-pop has changed a lot. I think even the fan culture and just the way things work. I mean, before, like, you know, I'm going to be honest, before, you know, you had the crazy hair, crazy makeup, the spiked up baggy, you know, baggy clothing. And now you know, like, I feel like it has kind of shifted a little bit. Like before, it was all about the hair, the very aggressive makeup, of course. And let me tell you, the Konglish in the music. Really, I will never forget sitting in the car and hearing Teen Top, Love That, I think. That's the name of the song. And I thought Cap said the other word you call the girl's part, the bad word. And he actually said plus S, not that word. So, and then like, it always cracks me up too. Like, even in B184, when like you see the English lyrics, it says make zoom 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 heart in my locket, and say joom joom heart in my locket, and I'm just like, wait, what? So the Konglish, I mean, they have gotten a lot better now with English, and yeah. I just feel like there's more variety in the groups. I do feel somewhat that concepts are recycled and brought back every single year. And you could tell because it's like a ripple, like one starts with the cutesy and then it kind of just has that ripple, it becomes a trend. But I just feel like K-pop has, it's grown to the point where it has been mainstreamed and westernized a lot of, like, now they're even adapting to a lot of the Latin trends and stuff as well. And
I mean, they've done collaborations with Latin artists too, so
I know
Super Junior.
I'm not surprised Super Junior did that, because they were one of the first groups that to actually go to like Latin America, Central America, mm-hmm. you know, South America, North America. And it's just, it's amazing how big of a fandom they have there too.
Oh, it's insane for sure. So I kind of just want to talk about the breakdown of just K-pop. It's like the first generation, second generation. I want to get your thoughts on what you think would be first generation, because I know this is mixed. I mean, as I was talking to you, you know, before we were recording, you know, there's like some groups that you can't deny, like they're part of the first generation, but I feel like you kind of get in the middle of what people consider like 1.5, 2.5. And I just want to see where you, as the person that lived this, because you've lived most of this, obviously, what you personally consider like the breakdown of just K-pop.
For me, I have to say definitely Shinhwa, of course, like, you know, SES, BabyVox,
H.O.T.
H.O.T., yes. I feel like H.O.T. and Shinhwa are kind of just in the same lane, because even though H.O.T. kind of debuted a little bit before Shinhwa, mm-hmm. I feel like they're just still in the same lane as first generation.
I mean, because like they're technically the first boy group. That, you know, people have said this because, like, you know, SM Entertainment was founded, and according to my notes, in 1995, and they were the first group based off like American and Japanese boy bands, but they kind of just set off that trend, and that's where the other groups just kind of came out.
Yeah, I remember. Oh God, I don't know if you guys know, like, Hyunjin Young or something. I forgot his name, but he was actually like the very first project for SM Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And then the only reason why I guess he was like kind of unique is because he had that westernized kind of charm to him.
Okay.
But then if you go and you look back, like, he was actually from the United States, and they like brought him here.
That makes sense.
And so... You know, so I remember like reading a book actually about like SM, and it talked about how like that was his very first project. Mm. It failed because, you know, drugs back then, not legal, still not legal.
I know.
But that happened. He lost so much money. So he kind of went back to singing and DJing and stuff. And then, yeah. You know, he started H.O.T. Up, and then, you know, from there it was, you know, Shinhwa and then BoA, SES, you know, being, he wanted them to be the girl group of Korea and stuff. So I mean, I feel like of course SM will always be first generation to me.
Yeah.
And then of course we have like all of the other entertainments, like we have JYP and then YG, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, because they follow suit. YG actually debuted in 1996 and then JYP 97. So they're just like back to back. They're kind of the mm-hmm. original ones. I mean, and I was reading a little bit more. I'm like, prior to SM Entertainment, like there was companies already established, but they didn't do this until SM did, you know, debut their groups. And then they're like, oh, okay, let's do it too. So it's just kind of that race started. Cause let's be real, that race is ongoing.
Yeah. to the whole train, even like to the trainee like system, like SM created that.
Yes. Yes.
And it's so crazy because over time it's just gotten like more rigorous. Like, yeah, like in terms of laws and stuff, it got a little bit lenient. You know, now there's a term on, you know, how many years they have contracts and stuff now, but it's crazy how, I mean, it's still strict. It's still the same in that sense that they're still strict with their artists, their trainees, their idols. And there's a lot of things that have not changed, but I still feel like it has somewhat slowly changed over time. And as of now, like since I would say 2017, 2018, when things started coming into light and people started complaining about, you know, payments and them not making enough money and, you know, unfair contract clauses and restrictions and the accidents and just everything that happened, like they're slowly starting to just open up and being a little bit more loose.
Yeah.
On what and what not to put on contracts, but it's still very, very strict. And there's still that dark side that is coming into light now too.
Yeah.
But like, in other words, it's getting attention, but I don't think it's getting enough attention for things to like start changing faster.
I mean, if you really think about it, it's a very young industry. I mean, the 90s, it's about our age, honestly. Yeah, you know, so exactly I think we're very young. We're very young, so no. But I mean, it's a very young industry, and it's kind of like it's survived economic crises in Korea, and it still thrived, and it still grew to what it is now. So it's just kind of interesting to where I'll be, you know, when there's this like, it's kind of, I feel since it's young, it's still kind of changing and adapting and figuring itself out in a way, but being exposed at the same time. So it's just, I really don't know. I mean, now that it's here everywhere, essentially, I'm really curious to see what will happen. And that's kind of my next question. What do you think will happen? You've seen it grown. You've seen it change. You've seen it become what it is now. What do you think? What are your thoughts of what will happen in the future?
I feel like ever since SM brought aespa, and then of course we have the League of Legends like stars, I feel like I would give 5 more years. I feel like in the next 5 years, like idols will not be people anymore.
I mean, it's true, because I feel like they're trying to measure up to this like fantasy, this idolization, and super hard, because like they can't have like date lives, they can't have romantic lives, like they can't mess up. They because it's just so scrutinized and people are always watching them. So at this point, it's like, well, let's just make them ourselves, you know?
Yeah, like I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's a company currently right now, and they're trying to debut like a virtual like K-pop group.
Interesting. No, I had no idea.
The virtual like singer that like you go to watch, but it's just like you know, it's all computerized. Like they're literally trying to do that, and I strongly feel like within the next, I would say like 5 years, like at the least 10 years at the most, like idols are not going to be people anymore, and that's scary.
It's scary, and it's, I don't know, I feel like the experience will be so different. There's something about just knowing that they're human too. I don't know, that's just me. And then like seeing them in person, like, cause you know, when we've been to concerts, we have the whole like high touch and you see them and it's just, it's nice. And just knowing that you can't get that, that's just weird. And knowing that like they get, you know, they write their music sometimes and they have, you know, inspirations and passions and they're just like us in a way. So it's kind of cool to relate to their music, but at the point where it's like, well, maybe the songwriters are the ones that, you know, have the passions and the feelings, but the people that perform them won't. It's just weird. Like the face of that is just, I don't know. It's no longer human at that point, obviously. And maybe it's just a generational thing. Maybe the people, or maybe just even a cultural thing. I don't know. Like maybe over there in Asia, they'll be perfectly okay with it. But I don't know.
If I remember, I think back in 2014 or 2015, it was. I'm not 100% accurately sure. But do y'all remember when, I don't know if you saw this, but I did. I used to watch Arirang News a lot. And so like I got to see it. There was like this entertainment conference, and it talked about like expanding K-pop and like what they could do to make K-pop better, make it more westernized, mainstream, and just, you know, to kind of for Korea to kind of just use that as a leverage to just get their culture out there more. Okay. And SM literally already had this plan that he wanted to do like something like League of Legends or like what Japan's doing. You know, they have like these animated vocaloids and they're like singing and people actually go and attend these concerts. So he had the idea of making a K-pop group like that. And then it's crazy how like now in 2021, he's actually somewhat done that, you know, to where like if, you know, Giselle or whoever, you know, they get sick one day or whatever, then like their little like vocaloid is there dancing. Yeah. But it's still crazy and scary because, you know, you like those in-person fan meets, meet and greets. You want to, you know, you pay hundreds of dollars, maybe even thousands, to go and see these people and meet them and, you know, give them a high touch, you know, say, hello, how are you? Give them gifts. And so, you know, I guess they're scared also because there's been a, you know, more Sesongs or Saseong fans, or, you know, there's a more growing people of, you know, being obsessive and possessive over their idols. And they're, I guess they don't want to deal with that liability. So they're just like, oh, let's just go and create a virtual group. Like, you know,
I mean, as it's becoming more global, of course you would think like there's more fans out, crazy fans, you know, that you acquire more fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, taking it back to just you being a fan, how do you feel about it? About like just how it is now, how it's been so global? Because I know back in the day, you know, it was kind of more like underground, like, you know, only a few people knew about them. It was kind of like fun and secretive. I don't know. That's kind of how I felt. I was like, it's our thing. And now that it's like everywhere, how does that made you feel? Just seeing the change, like, do you like it, not like it? Or what things do you like? What things do you not like about
so
it?
So I actually had this conversation with a friend. We were driving in his car and, that question came up and I was like, honestly, I'm glad, you know, because it's gone to the point where like on Billboard, it's now like its own category, you know, you know, at the Grammys is becoming its own category, you know, because of, you know, the growth of BTS's fan base and et cetera. And, you know, we're having a lot of K-pop groups like now release English versions of their songs and they're doing Spanish versions, you know, they're trying to please all their fans. So when I was talking to him, I was like, for me, I kind of liked it, you know, before 2011, 2012, that's when it started getting big. You know, I kind of liked it as my own thing. You know, I would just sit there, you know, my little old middle school self, and I'd sing and I'd go, you know, hear the online radio and I'd go on Daily Motion. I don't know if you guys went on Daily Motion and you're like part one, part two, part three. But, you know, like I enjoyed that. And also, you know, my mom kind of fed into my obsession too, because when I was younger, she bought me like Korean channels, which I remember like during that time we had like Verizon and it was kind of just growing, but it wasn't really huge. And I was like, damn, I miss watching Inkigayo. I miss, you know, like I miss actually just it being my own, like you had your own little bubble of friends.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's not bad that it has gotten huge. I just feel like the fans are getting younger, like even more younger, and you're getting older and you can no longer, like you're just not on the same level anymore.
Yeah.
That, and I just also feel sad because of like the fans that, you know, mess up those opportunities, they're like slowly starting to take those fan meet and those high touch and all of that away. And it's not as easy for you to even be able to get on a show and like see your idols and all that. Like before it was kind of low key and then you can, it was more open. It's just like, I just feel like now, because of it growing, like in for fans, it's getting just a little bit more harder and stricter to be able to meet those idols, especially idols that you've known from when they were like not that famous up till now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, like
their fans are just way younger, and then you're like,
it's like I feel, especially when you're trying to buy like concert tickets, it's like back in the day, God, like let's just say BTS, like I went to their concert in 2015 and I got tickets so easily, and it was in a smaller like theater, so you know it barely got packed, but it was great, I had fun. And now I'm like, I'm not gonna try to compete with these people. Like it's just insane, just them personally, obviously, like them, they grew a lot, but just, and it's not just with them, it's like with a lot of groups, it's just so hard to get tickets even. And it's like, you know, that means more fans out there. I mean, I'm happy for them, but in a way I'm like, man.
No, I look at BTS and it's just like, I remember when it, you know, the cringy song that came out, Hello, Bulletproof or something. Bulletproof. I remember when Bulletproof came out and I was just like, they're such babies. And just like now they're grown men. They're like grown men, obviously. But you know how like there's just certain groups where like you like and then you just kind of outgrow, but you, it's not that you don't like them, you're just not there
anymore.
So yeah. That's kind of what happened with me and BTS. Like I love BTS, but it's just like over time, like they just have completely went a different direction in terms of music. And it's just like, I'm not all there anymore.
That's kind of how I feel. But let's talk about them and what they've done for K-pop though. It's insane. They've definitely put it up in the main light. I kind of want to ask you, why them, do you think? Like why they've done what they've done now? Do you think it has to do with just technology and globalization? Or why do you think them? I mean, I think it's a mix of many things personally, but the BTS,
I think it has a lot to do with their personality.
Okay.
Too, like their personality in general, of course, they, you know, they do care about their fans. They have shown it that they do. And the mad respect that they just have for everybody, like it doesn't matter who you are, like they're just 100% respectful. And I just think that there's just something about their music that it doesn't matter. It has gone to the point, it doesn't matter. I would say before 2018 down, I feel like every single track is a hit. Like there's no B-side. There's no B-side to any
album. I agree with that.
Yeah. I agree 1000%.
So every, like, if you don't like the song, you're going to like the next song. Like something's going to like resonate with you. It doesn't matter. So I just feel like they have this special thing where like, it doesn't matter what age you are, what background, like any song you will connect with.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like their music connects with everybody. Doesn't matter age group or color or whatever. So I think that's a specialty that they do have. Mm-hmm. And it also shows with that. It also shows in them as a person as well, and how they treat their fans and just how they even treat, you know, politics and just anyone in general.
Yeah. I kind of have to agree in the sense that they're super committed to their work, to their music, to their passion. I mean, I don't really think of any scandals or them, you know, it's just, they're very committed to what they do. They need a break though, you know, but, I feel like that has a lot to do with it. And like people see that they care about their work and their art, and, they're very talented. And I think that's kind of what helped them bring them over here. And just technology, I mean, YouTube, the exposure, I mean, look at like other things like now, like look at Squid Game, like things like that, like Korean culture it's here now. And they definitely helped steer that towards this direction. And yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I love it.
I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird sometimes because I was used to being like, yeah, I like K-pop. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, you know, Korean music. And now I'm like,
I was in high school. I said, I like K-pop. And like my whole film class was like, And I'm like... And I was like that. I mean, I was that kid in high school that didn't really relate to anybody. And it's funny because my best friend and her friend in high school, I was hearing Shiny Lucifer, and they became K-pop fans. It was so
good.
I was like, oh, now I have K-pop buddies.
You converted them. I mean, that's what I did with Summer. I made her a fan.
Yeah. Basically.
If you can't find them, you have to make them.
Yep.
Basically. And then it's like for each fan you make, they make another like fan or two. And then like,
and that's how, you know, that's it, how we like breed. So my final question for you is, so now we're in what people think is a fourth generation of K-pop. There's many groups in this generation. Which groups do you like? Who should we look out for? Because we react to groups, obviously, we're kind of people that have stepped away and we're trying to come back into it. And we've reacted to plenty of new groups, but I just want to hear from you. What groups should we look out for, or, you know, we should react to, or that you like to hear?
Fourth generation for me. Well, I will name a couple of not so high rated groups.
Hey, I mean,
we're all for it.
We love underrated groups. We love all groups. We
do not discriminate.
For me, I really like Kingdom. Okay. Kingdom is amazing. I just love their music videos. They're so pretty and they kind of just tell stories too.
Okay.
And the aesthetics and even the music fits very well with the music video. So I really say check out Kingdom. I just recently saw Must Be. Now, I know Must Be debuted back in 2014, but definitely go check them out. Very nice guys. So much fan service, and they were just so sweet and adorable. I know they were tired that day, but definitely check out Must Be. I love them. They're very talented. I really love Oneus. Also, they've actually grown on me to the point where, like, I've been buying every single album they've been releasing, and I'm usually not like that with groups. ITZY's Crazy Love has been in my head, running on repeat. So I really like them. They're very girl power, very strong, a little bit cringy, don't get me wrong. They're a little bit cringy. Of course, JYP style has always been cringy.
They're very cheesy. They're very cheesy.
But we loved it.
I know.
We love it. But still, I would check them out. Definitely like some from Cube. They're a new girl group from Cube that just debuted. So I really like them. And who else? The Boys. We all love The Boys.
And I'm just like, yeah, we've actually reacted to them, and yeah.
The Boys, and y'all need to go check out Very Very. They're actually coming to Dallas. So they're actually the brother group of Vic. So y'all should definitely check them out. But yeah, there's actually too many that I do like, but of course, with Mama coming, there's a lot of fourth generation, fifth generation debuting. So I cannot keep up with all that. But I try to, you know, yes. But I cannot keep up with all of them. So, I mean, I would say check those out. Great guys, definitely. NIK, they're from Japanese Produce 101. And okay. But they also debuted in Korea as well. So there's a lot.
It's never ending. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna react to these.
Yeah, because it's not like we don't understand the feeling. That was the whole point of our podcast.
Yeah.
So we could catch up on all these groups that we never were able to get to, our groups that debuted when, you know, we were kind of, you know, like in and out of K-pop.
Yeah. So you're just giving us more episodes. I'm like, okay.
More fuel for the fire.
Yeah. So we're so grateful for all the thoughts you've given us of just talking about the evolution of K-pop, and just because you've lived through it. Most of us have not. The newer fans obviously have not. And I feel like a lot of older fans are kind of just fell off. And then there's like us, we're awkwardly in the middle, but you're still kicking it. You're still an OG fan. You're still a fan. And thank you. Thank you for the insight. Is there anything else you kind of want to tell us?
I just want to let you guys know, check out Patmer. Of course, they're always educating you guys on older and newer groups. You guys can follow me on Jimin Queen at Instagram. I usually post my concert shenanigans on there. I will be posting soon about projects, future projects, and we'll be starting my podcast soon, most likely this January, so stay tuned, guys.
All right. Well, like Patty said, thank you so much for joining us. And for everyone else out there, we'll be posting new content soon. As we said at the beginning, I know Patty certainly had fun, I think, running this show today. So I guess this is finally my turn to get to talk, just in case you guys forgot what my voice sounded like. Hello, I'm still here. I'm the Mer Pat of Patmer, just in case y'all forgot. But we will be coming out with more content. And just as an FYI reminder, our typical content and typical reactions are not going away. We're just putting those on pause now to come at you guys with just some new discussions, topics, just kind of, you know, put some conversations out there. So if you guys have any suggestions for things you want us to talk about, or any groups or music videos or anything like that that you want us to react to, any crack videos, any of those get to know you videos, we're definitely still down to do those. So just drop them in the comments so that we can see them. And you'll be hearing more from us soon.
Well, it was nice seeing you guys, and stay tuned for more episodes. Bye. Yep.
Bye.